It's like a live behind the scenes DVD feature.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you're in it right
now. Yeah. Live behind
you're
the scenes.
In the DVD.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
About animation. Well, if you just get some Play-Doh with clay, and then if you have clay, then you make a sculpture and you paint it. But if you have Play-Doh, you just make it, and then here's how you make it move. Well, you get hold of the animal and put up a setup, like whatever you made, a person or animal or something. You make a setup, you take the sculpture and take it a centimeter, and then you take your hand away and take a picture, then you move it a centimeter, and it goes over and over and over until it's finished doing something. If you want to make it do that, and all 40 moves is 1 second. Then at the end of your small movie or big movie or something, then you just take a whole bunch of pictures, and then you press it one, pick one picture, and then it starts going all over again. It's very fast. When we were learning how to do animation, my sister Eva, when we were learning, then our friends copied us from our story we tried to make. And then, since we didn't have enough time, we made a different story. And then at home, when there was no one to copy us, we set up our train set. And we moved train a centimeter, and we used a video camera to be taking the picture. You can use a video camera or something else.
How do you use a video camera to do animation?
Well, you turn it like off and on. So if you like move it, I think it's supposed to be off, and then you turn it on, the person's hand is away. And then you move it again, take your hand away, and then you turn it off. And it keeps going on, so off and on, off and on. When you take your hand away, then you turn it off. But when you move it, it's supposed to be on off. When we made it at the staircase, we saw it on this big screen in the seats, and it was good. There was a whole pile of food we made. And then all the animals, bugs and all that came. I made a butterfly, insects. And when I made a butterfly, and then Eva had a mean spider. She made it. So we started it. And all the animals was eating the food, minding their own business. And then a spider came along and ruined all their nice breakfast. And they start to push the food away. Push, 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 push. A centimeter, take a picture. Centimeter, take a picture. Centimeter, take a picture. We kept doing centimeters, take a picture. Until when the spider stopped on the plate, I think. And then my butterfly came with a banana peel and put it on the spider and then it walked away.
And how about the train set one? How did you feel when you saw it? Was it fun to see that? Tell me about it.
Yes, it was very funny. Oh, the last movie part we made was when the old ten was taking stuff, and he was taking it, and then he put his digger out, went right through the stoplight. And when Lily started to come out, he put his digger up, and then they bumped into each other, and Lily went up, and then she went like that, on the roof, lying on the roof. Harold came, but we could see the toothless. We tried to use to make him fly toothless. We made him fly, and we got Mommy's hairnet when she had dreadlocks. Daddy tied it up quick, took his hands away, and took a picture. And then we made Harold fly. You know what happened? We cut the string. Harold was lying down like that on the ground. Then Lily was like up on the roof. It was so funny.
I know how the moon must feel looking down from the heavens, smiling at the sea. Missing magic each day and not seeing the wonder. That's how the moon must feel. I know how the moon must feel when he makes sun.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
My name is Wee Tran, and I'm an animation facilitator here at the National Film Board Media Tech.
Animation used to be really expensive. Back in the Disney era, they used to do something with multi-plane cameras. What they'll do is they'll mount a camera really up, like really high up, and then they'll have different planes of glass, and they'll animate those different planes. But that costs a lot of money. So it equals to about like $1,000 for every second that you wanted to make. And back in the day, that was a lot of money. But nowadays, because of our computer software, we can do it at home. And we can do it on the road like we did at Hamilton. So it's cheaper nowadays to make animation. Different genres or different techniques of animation operate behind the three basic principles of animation, where we explain, first of all, creating the image. Whether it's in 3D space or in 2D space, we have to create an image. And then our second principle, there's three. Our second principle is to repeat that image and add a slight change to it. So it's a repetition with a slight change. Mm-hmm. And finally, after we have all the images lined up side by side by side, we play it back really fast. So that we use speed, whether it's through a camera, whether it's through a computer, or whether it's just flipping your flipbook. No matter what the technique, we use the same principle. Traditional animation used to be just drawing on paper, and then you would draw a different image and then repeat the image with a slight change and add the speed. Nowadays, because of computer, everything's open. Everything from simulation of cardboard cutout animation, like they did with South Park, for example. Like they used to actually physically cut out the cardboard and animate that for South Park. And they found that very tedious. So what they've done was they spend millions of dollars making this, which is kind of ironic in a way. They've spent millions and millions of dollars building this computer that can simulate the look of cardboard. So I found that really funny. To make animation like that. The NFB is known for making a whole bunch of different types of animations. A gentleman named Norman McLaren, he was our first animator here at the Film Board. And he did a whole bunch of experimental films. Way back when, I think it was in 1941 where he was recruited to build our animation department. And he's won several awards. One he won for Neighbors, which is an animation pixelation technique. And he won an Oscar for that one. There's a whole bunch of different types of animators, I find. Like, the animation directors and the animation heads are your story thinkers. Now, these are the guys who always have a movie up in their heads ever since they were a kid. And all they're doing is like finding an outlet to let all these crazy imaginations come out. Now, you have animators who are technically trained in doing so. They help the crazy, you know, lead animators bring their images to life, mm-hmm. and that's pretty much it. But to be an animator, I feel that you need to have three things. First thing you need is to love animation. Like, you have to love it. That's very important. Now, the second one's a little tricky. Second one, you need the technical know-how. You need to train yourself as an artist. How to draw pretty much basically everything and anything in every angle and every possibility. Because to create movement, you have to know that in your mind before you can expel it out onto paper. And the third one is patience. Patience is really important because animation takes a long time to make. Like, I tell the kids every day that come into these workshops, like, they need patience. And questions are always raised, like, how long would a movie take to make, like, something like Finding Nemo? Yeah, it takes them about 4 years to make one of those movies. And even TV shows, like The Simpsons, for example, it takes them about 8 months to make one episode, so it takes a lot of time, yeah. One of the easiest ways to make stuff look like it's flying, it's something called wire removal. They used it a lot way back when in the day. So what it was they take invisible string, and then they'll attach it to your character. And then they'll physically just move the string.
Like normal, we used it at normal pace, but our string wasn't invisible.
Well, you can use thick string too. And then what you can do nowadays is bring it into your computer and just erase it away. Well, a computer with any Photoshop type software. And one of the easiest ways, if you want to just do it like that, is put the wire behind the actual object and like hide it in front of a background. So what you're doing is you're playing with perspective. So where the camera faces, you don't actually see the wire. A lot of people don't know this still, is Walt Disney. He never used to be an animator. He was never an animator. Walt Disney was a businessman. But he was very important in like the movement of animation because he brought like the process of animation along and with the film industry and gained a certain amount of respect through SAG, I guess, Screen Actors Guild and all their Hollywood guilds, and won several Oscars for it. But he was never an animator. But somebody who worked with him, his name was U.B. Meyer, he was a great animator. And also Frank and Ollie, Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnson, they were the pioneers of animation in that era. And they did everything from Snow White all the way up to 101 Dalmatians. For 30 years they've animated for Disney. And National Film Board actually has a pioneer themselves, Norman McLaren, I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So he came in 1941 and brought an artistic feel to the animation world. Mm-hmm. And a lot of international artists adopted his style. And also, actually nowadays, one of his techniques, it's called pixelation. What they do is actually animate people. It's pretty much, what they do is they'll have actors go into a certain pose and they'll take a picture and then they'll continue that pose a little bit more and then they'll take another picture. So if you've seen any music videos like Missy Elliott, a lot of hip-hop videos and even some movies, Ridley Scott uses it a lot. And White Stripes videos, yeah, so it's used nowadays still. And that was way back in 1940s and 50s, you know.
My name's Christine Collins, and I'm the supervisor of the National Film Board Media Tech.
Very avant-garde. He was like the grandfather of animation, experimented with the camera, experimented with film, experimented with bleaching film, changing film, really taking things outside of what normally was perceived as animation and of the moving image. And he started out actually before in a documentary studio and was a cameraman and worked in the documentary studio and then evolved into creating an animation studio. So he really pushed the boundaries and created a niche for Canada on the international animation scene, because now Canada is renowned more outside of Canada than in Canada itself as a producer of short animated works. So it's pretty phenomenal. He was the man.
Man, battleship in El Trovato.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
How is the animation field as far as gender balance and things like that?
Gender balance. Ha.
Okay. Are there a lot of women animators?
There are more nowadays than there used to be. Like, when I went to Sheridan College, we had the most amount of female animators ever to be in a year of animation. In a class of 78 people, there were 16 girls.
Really?
That's the most ever. It's a small amount of female animators in there, but it's slowly growing. I think it's getting better.
But the Film Board is one of the pioneers in women's filmmaking, yeah. And in women's animation as well. Evelyn Lambert was a partner of Norman McLaren, worked with Norman McLaren on a number of his films, and is world-renowned as being one of the very first female animators. So Film Board's been ahead of the game in that respect as well, and continues to enrich culturally diverse filmmakers, female filmmakers, and other underrepresented groups in the field.
Well, the biggest misconception that I found is a lot of people assume computers do all the work, but computers are mainly a tool. Flash animation is probably the most simplest form of computer animation. Classical animation, the simplest form of that is just doing a two-page flipbook. So whether you're an artist animating with a computer or whether you're just drawing on rocks, like cavemen used to do, like there's still animation, because animation went back way, way back when. Like, we're talking even before Egyptian times. And it was slightly different. But if you look at ancient, like, cave drawings, you'll see that they have motion in their spears and in their caveman drawings. Like, you'll see little men, like, chasing after bisons. So that's a type of animation. We incorporate that into our animation still nowadays. My life drawing teacher explained to us, life drawing in animation is sort of like trying to create movement in one picture. So your eyes are trying to imagine what's going to happen in the next frame, what happened in the previous frame. So in the old caveman drawings, they subconsciously knew this. So when they looked at it, your minds pretty much fill in the lines. Mm. So they can imagine what's going to happen with that spear, what's going to happen if it's going to follow through, and what happened before that. Did he pick it up? And when you look at Egyptian art, I did some research, and they discovered this piece by the Egyptians over 2000 BC. They had a whole bunch of pictures of these guys wrestling. And what it was an animation, but it was more of a storyboard telling a story about how these guys wrestle.
It's like, what's that, Edward?
Moybridge, yeah.
Yeah. Moybridge. It was exactly like Moybridge, yeah. Except they didn't have stop-motion cameras. Yeah, so there was this artist way back when who just wanted to see things move. Computers, all they are a tool. But the thing is, what computers provide is affordability. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing.
The biggest debate, too, now here at the Film Board is the difference between auteur animation and large-scale production animation, which is more so than the technology issue. It's a matter of having one artist able to create their vision through their film and a way of expression, as opposed to having a full entire team of people working on a film. At the Film Board, it's a team experience, but it's very driven by an auteur who really wants to put their expressive points ahead and not necessarily have to be commercial. It's not commercial animation, it's animation for animation's sake and for the art, mm-hmm. and to express ideas and opinions as opposed to garnering commercial success. So there's a little bit, that's what I find the biggest debate now, as opposed to whether it's done with computers or it's done by hand or it's done however it's done. It's really the vision behind it that's what is a big debate right now. All our films are non-sexist, non-violent, non-racist. Generally, since the Film Board was founded in 1939, the mandate has been to reflect Canada to Canadians in one way, shape, or form. So we're still trying to do the same thing, reflect Canada's culturally diverse nature, reflect our filmmakers, provide a place where filmmakers can come and learn from masters, learn from young people, learn from production, learn from technical standpoints, just basically an enriching experience to learn and to create something that has to do with their vision and their passion. So it's a little bit less driven by what the kids want and what the adults want, and more driven by what the artist feels they need to express. And so it's a very unique institution in that way, and it's the only institution in the world like it. What the MediaTek is another way that the Film Board has decided to outreach to Canadians. There's a number of educational resources and things that we have here. They're all very low cost, and it's like a really, really great experience for people to come in and experience their audiovisual legacy that they haven't normally had access to other than through libraries. So we're like a film library, instant on-the-spot film viewing, access to filmmakers, access to people who are involved in the filmmaking process, and access to a really, really knowledgeable young staff that are all passionate about filmmaking and animation. So it's like a really cool place to be, cool place to work. And we have cool screening programs every Thursday. Like, there's always something going on at MediaTek. It's a new venture for the Film Board. So we have one in Toronto now, and we have one in Montreal that was built 10 years ago. We'd like to build them across Canada so that people actually have access to our films and to our productions. There's over 10,000 NFB productions. It's a great resource for Canadians for research purposes and accessing social issue documentaries and animation that you wouldn't normally see in the mainstream. We do have a library system, and the films are available at the libraries, that's right. But it's a little bit of a different experience when you actually come to the Film Board for a screening or to watch a film, because you can actually ask questions about the film, and there's two-way communication. We have a lot of master classes where filmmakers come in and talk about their work. And so it creates it's a different experience than just watching a video and popping in a video.
It's like a live behind-the-scenes DVD feature.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, you're in it, right?
Yeah. Live behind-the-scenes.
You're in the
DVD!
Great.
The MediaTek, cool place to be.
Yeah,
definitely. And we've got these great animators that can help kids learn every single day of the week.
And I'm 8 years old. There's this like movie that comes on the screen, and you sit in this chair, and then there's these things that are near your ears. The sound comes through them, and you sit back in your chair and watch it. I watched Christopher Clean Up Your Room. I watched Christopher's New Name, and I watched this one like The Time of the Dinosaurs, something like that. And then I watched Rose the Sing on New Snow. The nice one. I bought this one girl. Well, she's a really good cook, but she never gets any of the money because she makes all the food, and then her father pretended it was his two sons that made it. They were gonna make this food for governor, because what he loved best was to eat, and so they all made some food, and she went down to the harbor and got fresh fish, and she got all these herbs from her garden, and her food was the best, and she called it Rose's Sing on New Snow, and her food was the best. And then said, who made, I like this one, wins my warmest prize. And then like, who made the dish? And then the man said, oh, your governor, it was my two sons. And then like, governor said, tell me how the dish was done. And then they made it wrong, and then he's like, because it just fell off. It's like, he's like, you imposters. And then he'd bring me the real cook, and they had to bring her. And he's like, what do you have to say for yourself? And then he's like, he moves aside, and then she comes, and he's like, oh, show me how the dish was done, and I will send it to China so the emperor can try it. Your Highness, the emperor cannot have this. And he's like, who dare to refuse the emperor a chance to taste this wonderful dish? And then he says, let us cook side by side so you can see how the dish was done. And then he's like, oh, okay. And then they do it. And then he tries her one. He's like, And then he tries this one. He's like, yuck. And he's like, what's your secret? He's like, your Highness, if we both took black ink and brush, could we bring to life identical pictures?
Movie review.
Roll call! Come along!
come now, you have a late for parade. Rip, 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 car. Left, right. Come on, smarten up. Discipline, order.
Well, Chicken Run is not made by the NFB, but it's really funny. It's made by the same people that made Wallace and Gromit. They're so funny. I felt really scared when it happened, though, when all that stuff happened, because it's pretty scary how all the chickens are always trying to escape, and there's this one chicken that's always trying to escape, and she's always getting caught.
We tried going under the wire, and that didn't work. So, the plan is, we go over it.
There's this other cock, and he's from the Air Force in his day, and he's like won all these medals, but he never really drove the plane. This other cock comes, and he came flying in, and chickens can't fly.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You've been a wonderful audience.
Ouch! You can fly in, and this piece of paper drops, and it's like a ripped piece. It says, like, Rocky, the amazing flying bird. And it's like, he's supposed to teach them how to fly, and then, because they want to get away. And he's been always trying to escape his horrid face. When they have to learn how to fly, his arms hurt. Because he fell, he hit into the weather vane, and then he hit the wires 2 times and fell right into their farm. He's like, I'm free. All of a sudden, he hits into the weather vane. He's like, I'm free. He really doesn't know how to fly. He just, like, the way he flies is they shoot him out of a cannon. He just, like, said his name's
Rocky. The name's Rocky. Rocky the Rhode Island Red. Rhodes for short.
Rocky Rhodes.
Catchy, ain't it?
But he can't really fly. He wants to think, and so he wasn't exactly an imposter, but he gets shot out of a cannon. And so, like, he comes back, they still fly it, they fly it on a plane, they build a plane. And the guy that's supposed to drive, he's like that old cock that always was on the Air Force, but he just never really drove the plane.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I can't fly this contraption.
Back in your day, the Royal Air Force.
644 Squadron, Poultry Division. We were the mascots.
You mean you never actually flew the plane?
Good. Heavens, no. I'm a chicken. The Royal Air Force doesn't let chickens mind the controls of a complex aircraft.
We're all gonna die!
But he managed to drive it. He drove it. And it's like the other guy comes, and then one of the farmers pushes down the up ramp that you're gonna go on to go upward. And then he pushes it down. He says, got you, because they tied him up and put him under the chicken house. With only his head sticking out, they gagged him, tied him up and everything, and then he got away. He managed to get away, and he pulled down the board so they couldn't go up. And the other two chickens, like that cock and the chicken, the two main ones, like, well, the cock comes back again, and then they push it up, they push up the ramp, and they nearly get run over by the thing, by the plane they made. It's huge, it's like bigger than a person, and all of a sudden the lady comes out, like really evil woman almost. She's like evil. She comes out and like with this axe, but they get away.
I told you they was organized.
What would you rate that movie? What? Out of 5, how would you rate it?
10.
Out of 5 though?
No, 10.
You know, 5 stars?
Yeah, but I don't care. I want to make it at least 7.
Come out on. Of 10?
Yeah.
But I can
make out of 5 stars.
But that's over 5 then.
Mm-hmm, I know.
But you have to...
Okay, I'd give it 5.
Okay.
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L 8S1CO.